back for another episode of Trauma by Marvel. I am Shanna. I am your host. I am here with the doctor and Parrish to talk about season 2, episodes 3 through 6 of Cloak and Dagger. So I'll start with you, doctor. What did you think about these episodes?
They were well done. I'm just over the Connor storyline and Ty being on the run. And I hate that we didn't do 7, because I don't like how Tandy's story ended in this arc.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I wasn't here for that at all.
Go ahead, Parrish.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, because I rewatched them all this morning, as I normally do before we do a show. And I agree, like, we could have waited another episode to do this. It's just, this is how the math worked out. But it was a bit much to end on that.
See, what I like, which I thought was funny, was even though we didn't plan it this way, we pushed it back a week because of everything that was happening last weekend. I feel like the episodes actually work better in 2 episode chunks, because 3 and 4 felt like one complete part of the story, and then 5 and 6 felt like another complete part of the story. So even though this like ended up on a cliffhanger, it felt like it completed that arc, and now we can move on to the next part, which is like Tandy without hope and what that looks like,
and the viewers without hope and what that looks
like. That's what I'm telling you, like, they just need to call the show Trauma, because every single episode, I'm like, and it's funny because I also watch Runaways, and it feels like the 2 shows that are based around the teens and kind of, you know, like, as much as we talk about the Marvel Netflix shows and how dark they are and all that, it feels like the teen shows are the darkest and the most realistic.
That's true.
I think it was a mailbag with Chris and Deepam, where they talked about like the difference between, you know, violent and dark. Mm-hmm. Like the Netflix shows can get a little gritty, but this is dark.
It really is. Like, I feel like I come out of this like I need to see a therapist.
Sounds about right. Sorry, I was drinking water.
it's just a lot.
Yeah, that's why I'm like kind of glad. I feel like we come together and I'm like, oh, this is my time to process, to talk through my feelings, to really get in touch with who I am.
And you know, the other thing that doesn't help is that all of our faves have been putting us through the mental ringer for the past 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Like, so raw right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I went and saw Endgame again for the 3rd time yesterday.
Same.
I planned to see it this morning. It just didn't work out that way.
I still cheer at the same parts. I still cry at the same parts. Well, now I'm finally crying. Now I'm like, it's enough that now I can actually cry while I watch it. But yeah, Endgame is
Then. And then it don't help that Alan Silvestri just did the damn thing, and me and my youngest love the soundtrack, so we listen to Portals on repeat, followed by A Real Hero, which is the music that plays during Tony's funeral. Look, spoiler alert. Sorry. During the funeral.
Yeah. I actually...
make sure in the write-up make sure you put there's an Endgame spoiler, because I don't want to hear anybody's mouth.
Okay. Yeah, I listened to the soundtrack for the first time last night as well. I finally like just sat down. I listened to it while I was reading comic books from Free Comic Book Day. Yay, Free Comic Book Day. So it was a very enjoyable day yesterday. But yeah, it's just the show. I knew it would be a lot, because just in who Cloak and Dagger are, it's always been about this fight between light and dark. They are 2 runaway kids who are dealing with real world issues with supernatural powers. And they deal with things like drug abuse and sex trafficking and all that stuff in the comics. So, you know, it's not like I didn't know what I was in for, but the way they do it is so stylized, and the way they play with what it means to be inside someone's head and to be inside their fears and to access their hope. I mean, the production designer needs to get all of the awards.
Absolutely.
The part where, what's his name, Connor was stuck in that place and he had created all of those ponchos to look like Ty's cloak that were hanging. That was so intense. And then the records in the record store and all of them being the missing girls. And it's like a stack of records for each girl. And the detail that goes into creating those different album covers for each part of the girls' lives.
Yeah.
I mean, the production value on this show is so high. And not even from just like a special effects, we're dealing with superpowers point of view, but from the detail work that they do on this show is amazing. So let's see, how do we want to break this down? Do we want to just go episode by episode?
Let's do character high points. Let's start with Tandy because I really don't want to end on that low note.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Tandy is, well, basically at the end where we left off, they have just discovered that Mayhem and Bridget have split. So they go to the only other person that kind of might know what's going on and also is smart, which is Mina, which I thought was great, bringing Mina back into it. And she's someone that Tandy trusts. So they go to her. She tells them about she saw the rats do the same thing that Mayhem and Bridget did. And Mayhem is kind of tempting Tandy with this idea of we can save these girls if we work together, which I thought was interesting, the way she's appealing to the side of Tandy that is similar to the side of Mayhem.
That they can literally power their way through like an entire structure that basically oppresses them.
Yeah. And then Tandy, she's working with Ty because Ty is basically like, we can't do this the way Mayhem would do this. But they're both determined to save these girls. And Tandy is also looking to find Michaela after all of the stuff she put Michaela through. Which, that's the other interesting thing. Or I guess not, now that we know where Tandy ends up. So I'm assuming we're going to see Michaela at that motel next week.
I would make a guess that's it.
Because I just thought it was weird that like they were able to save all the other girls, but Michaela was still not found. So do you think now I'm thinking all these theories. Do you think they hold the girls until Andre can get them to where he needs them to be before they take them to the hotel?
That's what I got the impression that the gang was, that they had all these girls as a waypoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, motels aren't that big. So in my head, I'm like, oh, they're just rotating them through. Mm-hmm. Like they hold them here. When those other girls are used up or injured or inadvertently killed, they switch them out.
But you would think, first of all, you wouldn't want to hold that many girls because there's a high chance that they could get out even without Tandy and them saving them. And then also, it draws more attention the more girls you have.
I don't think they could, though, because think about it. When she went inside, none of them had any hope. So without hope, there's no motivation to escape.
Number one.
So yes, they were scared, sure, but there was no motivation to remove themselves because there was nothing in their heads waiting for them if they went back to whatever they came from anyway.
That makes sense.
Right. Number one and number two, I mean, they've said repeatedly that they pick women that no one would miss.
Yeah. But clearly somebody misses them. Like we saw everybody standing vigil and meeting weekly to try and find the girls.
But is that family members? Is that family members or is that like online activists do?
Right.
It felt like it was family members. It felt like it was mothers specifically.
But even still, I mean, it's one thing for your loved ones to miss you, and there's a it's another thing to be missed. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, if we're making a distinction between, you know, there are a lot of people that go missing and their family members will never give up, whereas everything else, you know, systemically either does not care or has given up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just think you would want to. But then we also don't know, because Andre, we don't learn until the end that part of it is that he gets these headaches, and taking this the hope from people is actually what helps alleviate the headaches. So, like, maybe also he can't help it. Because I was like, you would just think you would want to be strategic and not take so many girls and be holding so many girls. But if it's more of a thing of he has to do it, like, every few weeks or whatever, then I can understand why. And then you would need that, yeah, like you said, like a way station, a place to hold the girls in between.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Tandy, whose powers are growing. I thought it was cute, too. So Ty's powers are growing. He can finally move people through space. Tandy's powers are also growing. She's way more destructive. She can do these light bursts now that incapacitate people. She's
almost like a flashbang grenade.
Yeah. Which was good, because when she went in there and they sprayed that, what's the stuff that they spray? Mace in her face.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, girl, like, I love Tandy, but I'm like, girl, you ain't got nothing but them knives. You do not have any hands. Please stop trying to go in on your own and fight people. So she, like, sets off a flashbang and uses that also to distract the gangbangers so that Ty can get in and take the girls out. But we also see that it takes a lot out of him to do that. So it's also weakening him. And then she sees Ty suck Mayhem into himself and realizes that that's where Connor has gone. And so she goes in after Mayhem. And also to try and bring Connor out in order to clear Ty's name.
In all the way after laying Ty out, because I think, you know, an essential component to this arc of the story is that they're completely at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw from, I think it was end of episode one, is they thought that each of them was kind of handling their situation and, you know, making a new life from each other and helping each other out. And then they realize that they've both been lying the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So for months, Ty has been lying about Connor, and Tandy is like, what the hell? But he's like, also, you've been out here, you know, being a superhero and getting revenge, so you have no space to talk. And it's just kind of this... It's interesting because in the following episode, the one thing that anchors Tandy and gives her hope is Ty. But also, he's the person that she lies to the most, kind of.
Yeah.
Just I love their dynamic, as dysfunctional as it is. Can I just say that? And, like, not just in a, like, I want them to, like, make out way, but just in a... It feels so truthful to who they are as people.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of care to, you know, it's hard enough to make characters themselves three-dimensional. In many lesser shows, you know, fail at that. But to make that relationship seem three-dimensional is, I mean, the writing is so good on this show.
So good. Like, when they start bringing in, you know... In the final episode, that refrain of that in the sweet by and by, where they just do all the different versions of that song, I just thought that was so beautiful. And also, like, if you pay attention to the lyrics, it's all about reuniting in heaven, finding each other on the shore. The way this show syncs up their music with what's happening. It's
they made Britney Spears palatable. Come on.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So she is inside. She is inside Ty's. Well, I like how he says it. It's not inside him. He's like, he's just a way through to whatever the place is. And so they get in there and it's all like just people's fears and stuff and haunting them. So like when Mayhem, the first thing she sees when she goes in is Fuchs, the officer that Bridget was dating, who was killed by Connors. And she's kind of walking through her own memories and things like that. And then when Tandy gets in there, the first person she sees, and this goes back to all the voodoo stuff from the first couple episodes, is Papa Legba, but it's in the form of Baby Ty. Which I think is also interesting, is like, because technically it's all stuff related to Tandy, but it's a lot of stuff that is connected to her is connected to Ty. So she's seeing like him, and then her and Mayhem link up. Oh, wait, no, he tells her she has to let go of her powers in order to pass through. And she has to reconnect with Mayhem because Mayhem can't leave because she's only part of a person. She's not whole. And so they're like, you have to connect with her before she can leave. And she has to let go of her powers. And so the two of them end up in this record store where they see all of the records which represent the different girls. And then they start playing all of the records that are related to Tandy. And the music choices and the scene choices give everyone awards. Every mm-hmm. single person. Like music supervisor, production designer, like lighting, costumes, like make up new awards for these people because it's so perfect.
Yeah, it was all a lot. It was a lot.
So the one that the doctor referenced is Hit Me Baby One More Time, Britney Spears. It is a version sang by Galia Arad. And it's like, usually I would make fun of it. I was like, what is this like pumpkin spice latte version?
Maybe one more time. Look, they can pumpkin spice latte of their own shit. That's fine. Leave everybody else's shit alone though.
Look, Shannon, get out of my head, because that was exactly what I was about to say. Normally I hate these slow emotive pumpkin spice versions of songs, but it worked so well in this instance.
It was just like, she was like, my loneliness is killing me, and like Tandy, and then like they immediately flash back to like baby Tandy with her parents arguing like over her. I was just like, oh my god. Who is writing this show and why are they trying to traumatize me?
It's kind of their job.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And then we also, it's just various scenes of, I love it too, because it goes to show how much as a young child, there are things that happen around you and you've kind of blocked them out, but they're always there and they always shape who you are. Because a lot of these are like memories that Tandy didn't consciously remember or she had blocked out, because she was legit surprised when she found out her dad was an abuser. But these memories are basically showing her like, no, it was always there and you always kind of knew.
Or you just didn't understand it as, I mean, because you're looking at things with childlike eyes. I mean, we all have those moments where we go back, you know, where we've gone back and thought about a memory that just sat in our heads. And then there's like this epiphany where you realize, oh, wait a minute. I know what was going on here now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've definitely had that happen as an adult now. Like, you know, like realizing like times that what I just thought were like, whatever, like times we didn't have a lot of food in the house. I just thought like, oh, whatever. Like, that's just whatever. And now as an adult, like my mom is like, no, yeah, like we almost didn't eat that week. And for me, because she never made it seem like it was a big deal or that we were in trouble, I was just like, oh, this is what all families go through.
Which is actually the where I continue to be frustrated with Tandy. And I think that the way that the plot is going for her, I think that this is the resolution for all of this. But like, she is so hard on her mother. Mm-hmm. Like the whole thing about her going, her mother was like, oh, we went to the bar, we had a good time. And it, you know, this doctor was hitting on me or whatever. And she immediately lays into her mother. And her mother was like, it did matter to me. But I mean, can you stop and think for a second? I had a child. Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
To which Tandy then proceeds to judge her for that. Like, oh, it's okay as long as he's providing them. She's like, it wasn't okay, but, oh, Tandy.
Yeah, it's just that was, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, you know, in your example. It's like, you know, our parents don't tell us certain things because they're shielding us from their reality. Like, their reality should not be our reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, that continues to be a point of frustration for me with Tandy. Like, she doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you, but also because she is the child that her mom is referring, you know, like, because she feels like her basic thing always goes back to like, you chose and you chose wrong. And, you know, I don't agree with her on that, but I get, because Tandy's choice is always to run. So in right. her mind, she's like, running is always an option. And you,
but Tandy hasn't faced the fact that her running is fundamentally irresponsible.
Exactly.
Like right. she doesn't have. Like, she does not have the same concern. You know, she didn't have to make the same. She didn't have the same considerations that her mother has. Mm-hmm. Like, she had no attachments to anybody, so she could pick up and run anytime she wants. And I think, yeah,
that's why I think these next two episodes are going to be interesting, because it's like, now that she has no hope, she's not going to run, and she's going to be forced to stay. And then I'm wondering, what on the other side of that, when she comes out on the other side of that, if she's able to understand what it's like to live with the consequences of staying.
And also, what if she recognizes that what she has gone through with this villain, by the way, we mentioned this on the first episode, and I hate this.
I know, I'm so mad. I'm so mad at the doctor. I was like, how dare you be right? How dare you be right about this black man?
That's right. It was Doc that called that.
If you could see my face, you know that meme that's floating around about how that guy who made that winning basket was looking and everybody's celebrating around him? That's me right now. That's me right now. I don't know the man's name, but that's me right now.
God damn it.
Both of us were like, don't you be right about this black man being a villain. Don't you be right.
But I mean, but to go back to like my point, I mean, hopefully she'll understand that what she went through is a very shortened version of what someone goes through when they're in an abusive situation. Mm-hmm. Like, this person, this villain systematically went through her head and broke her down.
Yep.
And I think that that's the part that she doesn't understand. That was the part that frustrated me to no end when I watched the first two episodes. Like, she does not understand the nature of abuse.
No.
It's so easy for him to do what he did.
Right.
Yeah. And like, and not somebody with, you know, with the power to do so, you know, like a supernatural power, but like, over a short period of time, like imagine years of being in that situation, or imagine mm-hmm. it slowly escalating until you don't even realize you're in that situation.
And I honestly think that I mean, this sounds so depressing. But I think
it is.
I think everyone will get it when I say this. This is the reason why we read comic books, because you can take somebody who has superpowers, and then you can shorten the time that it takes to make something relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of framing it as this person went through 7, 8, 9, 10 years of systematically being broken down by a partner, this person has a superpower. And they literally went into her head and broke her down.
I mean,
you know, it's that makes Jessica Jones so resonant.
That's part of the reason why I loved Buffy when I was younger, because all it is, and even the writers have said this from the beginning, all of these things are metaphors for what teenagers go through. They even had an episode where, you know, the boyfriend was literally like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He turned into a monster and he beat on his girlfriend. So it's those kinds of things, those metaphors, the demons that we fight in real life becoming actual real demons that make it relatable.
Mm-hmm.
One of the comics, I think we were talking about this on Twitter. One of the comics that I picked up for free comic book day is from this new imprint called H1. And it's a series of graphic novels ongoing series. It's three different ones. One of them is about these six teenagers who are in a school shooting and their powers manifest during the school shooting. And
wow.
Yeah, the log line for it was, what if the Parkland survivors had the powers and resources to affect actual change?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, that obviously sounds like a comic book I want to read. And I was reading the different character bios and, you know, like one girl has the power to pull people together in empathy.
Oh,
that's cool.
Like, that's amazing. Nice. So I think that's what makes these stories resonate with us, is that they are taking real life issues and creating these worlds where people's powers can affect change, good or bad, and we can relate to them. Because who doesn't want the power to actually fight that? All right. Just to finish out on Tandy, once they are outside of this realm, once she doesn't pull Mayhem back out, she pulls Connors back out. And then she is drugged. She is going back to help these girls, and she is drugged by Leah.
She's tased.
Tased by Leah. I was like, as soon as it happened, because I love that actress, I was like, damn it, Dilshad. And then it was her instead of Andre. So I was like, maybe he's not involved. I was like, still like fingers crossed. Like, maybe this black man.
Y'all gonna learn to listen to me, I'm telling you.
I mean, Warner called it so long ago. It's like, if there's a character in a show that seemingly does not have a purpose, their purpose is they're the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, duh.
But he had a purpose. He was counseling people. He was a good guy.
I didn't want it.
He was looking fine. That was his purpose, looking fine and cute.
You sweet summer children, I tell you.
I was so angry. The other thing I did want to mention quickly. So you see Tandy doing her grifter thing on Leah, because she's trying to find out more about these girls, and what she wants to do is question the girls directly, but nobody will let her. And so she's doing her grifter thing on Leah. She talks about this boyfriend that she's trying to get away from and all this other stuff. And using Leah's own story of having once been that type of girl against her. And so she asked Ty to come meet her at this park. And Leah's like in the park watching her, and Tandy's using it as a way to connect with her. When Ty said to her, because she was like, oh, I'm trying to find out more from her or whatever. And he was like, so you called the, so you called your black friend.
Again, it's, I mean, and it's not one of those things like other shows that we've covered that that we've given up on where you don't like a character and because you don't like a character, you know, I'm sitting there like Tandy's being trash, so but trash. You know, that the writers are doing it for a reason and that's why you're holding on.
And what I will say again, to the writers' credit, they don't let Tandy get away with that shit. Characters call her on her bullshit. And I like, you know, she's one of our heroines. So like at the end of the day, she's only going to be but so wrong. But still, yo, when Ty said that shit,
she is being trashed this season.
And like, he wasn't wrong at all.
Not at all.
Because basically she took that argument and and it goes back to season one. Remember we were like, oh my God, Tandy's too good at this. It goes back to season one because she takes it. It's just like enough truth to make the lie real. So they get into that argument because Ty calls her on her bullshit and he leaves. And she's genuinely upset about Ty leaving because she realizes she's fucked up. But she just takes that. And uses it. Yeah. She's like, you know, tears in her eyes and everything, goes back to Leah like, see? I was just like, she's too fucking good at this.
But again, it goes back to her greatest superpower is she's a white woman, because like she knew exactly what cultural buttons to push to get the reaction that she wanted. And that's exactly what he called her on. So you called your black friend to be the domineering ex. Mm-hmm. And then she weaponized her tears.
I mean, she's good. That's all I got. I'm like, she's good. She's good at this. She's clearly done this before.
And I keep saying to myself, I love both my babies, but she is trash right now.
So trash. Oh, so trash. Yeah, so then when Leah tases her, it's kind of like, oh, but then it's also like, you kind of deserve that. you were trying to play her, and the whole time she was playing you.
And that was the first thing that I thought when that went down. You know, the old saying that either your mama, your grandma, your aunts told you, don't play a player. Mm-hmm. Don't try to play a player.
Not at all. So... then it becomes another dreamscape. And they're so good at doing this. Because remember last season where they did Inside Mina's Father's Head? Mm-hmm. And they kept showing us the same scenario over and over again. This time we get all these different scenarios in Tandy's head of how things could have went differently in the rig explosion. So the first one is that it exploded and her father and Billy find Ty and her baby Ty and baby Tandy on the beach. And then Ty grows up to be, of all things, a police officer.
And Connors is there as a mentor. And because Ty saved the white family, you know, they now have a mentor relationship. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Tandy, you really turned this situation around.
Right, right.
I'm like, Connors is the mentor. That's a lot.
Serious revisionist history, but okay.
Yeah, that's some real revisionist history. And she's a prima ballerina. Evita and Ty are together. Their families are, you know, celebrating him graduating from the police academy. But, you know, she knows something's not quite right. And there's a part where her mom is dancing with one of Ty's friends. And her father goes to go near her. And it looks like he might be about to do something. And Tandy's like, don't hurt her. And everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, I thought it would play so fervently. Like, the father's like, I was going to throw some confetti. Like, what are you doing? What's going on?
He was pulling confetti out of mom's hair.
Yeah. I was like, what's this confetti? Calm down. And then they go to the store, Ty and Tandy, and there's these white guys, and the white guy, one guy hits on her, and then the other guy's all like, you know, they steal our women and then complain about racism. And then he pulls a gun on Ty because he sees Ty with a gun on his hip, which he has on because he has on his uniform, with a hoodie over it. And then the guy shoots or goes to shoot Ty, and Tandy's daggers come out. And then the next scene is the one where, oh, she's a Roxanne engineer. So instead of going into ballet, she became an engineer. She goes to the rig. Ty is working on the rig with his brother. And Mina's in charge, except she's a B-I-T-C-H. And she's there to check on some things, and the rig is about to explode. Like before, again, her daggers come out, and that kind of stops the dream. And each time, Andre is in the background, and she can't figure out what exactly is going on. There's like music, and he's in the background, and she can't figure out what's going on. I like the last scenario the best because it brought back Liam,
mm-hmm.
old boy from before. It's where she's a grifter again, and she's picking pockets on the street. She's pretending to be one of those people that signs up for signatures, and she kind of flirts with Liam a little bit. He is dating Michaela, and she uses the flirtation to distract him while she lifts his wallet. And then when he realizes his wallet is stolen and she goes running, she ends up in a car with Ty, who is boosting the car, which he learned from Billy. And then you find out that Billy went from boosting cars to getting arrested to ending up on drugs and dying.
After jail, because he was in jail. Yeah. The jail bid got him hooked, and then he died.
Yeah. But what's always consistent in all of these is that Ty is there.
Right. Yeah. She always finds her way to Ty.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that was how he was able to manipulate her in the end. How, I forget the villain's name now. I'm drawing a blank.
Andre.
How he gets to her.
Yeah. So in one of the scenarios, she thinks she's out of the scenarios, and basically when she confronts Andre thinking she's out of this dream world, he shoots Ty, and that is what takes away her hope, because Ty is the thing that kind of, what I like is,
it wasn't just that though, it was that not only did he shoot Ty and Ty's dead in her head, but it's like, look, he'd be alive if he wasn't getting caught up with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're the thing that keeps dragging him into bullshit.
Yes.
Which goes back to, you know, a point I was going to make about how, notice how no matter what situation Ty is in, she finds a way in her mind to elevate her to the point where it's like she wants him to be as dependent on her as she is on him.
Yeah.
So like he's a police officer. He's happily with Evita. But it still comes down to the two of them together and him saying, you know, I couldn't have done any of this without you. You save me every day.
And it's like, huh?
Right. You know, no matter it's really her. Like, no matter, she wants to have that elevated position in his life because he's her tether. I guess tether is the wrong words given the us. He grounds her.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily wanting to have an elevated position in his life, but I do what Andre says about, you know, you're worthless. And I think Ty at the very least makes her feel like what she does has some sort of meaning and purpose. And that was the thing that was kept her going and kept her, like, I can fuck up, but Ty knows that I'm worth something.
But I think the other side of that is, what happens when that person finds somebody that they love more than you? And then they're not around to tell you that you have worth.
But okay, maybe it's mostly because I'm thinking about it in the romantic sense. I don't get the feeling that she is upset or jealous or feels like Ty can't have other people in his life that he loves.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that she wants to make sure that he's in a position where he continues to elevate her.
That if she calls, he will come.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not necessarily a romantic thing.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't care if she doesn't care if he has a girlfriend as long as they know where she sits in this hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. She's always his best friend.
Right. She's always the priority.
I don't know if it's that for me personally, but I see what you're saying. So there is, in terms of Andre, there's a couple of possible villains that he might link up to in the Marvel universe. I did some research. The first one is kind of connected to what he said he's doing. So there's one called Kadaver. So it's supposed to be a creature that drains and draws light or life from people. He has a gem in his head that enables him to channel light to his own disease ravaged cells. So the idea is that he's sick and he drains light from people in order to make himself better, which is similar to what Andre said he needs these lives for. The other one, I think, which makes more sense, is a demon called Despair. And it's spelled all weird, but that's how you pronounce it. And this one is someone who preys on his victims' despair, using their fear and despair to strengthen himself. And Cloak and Dagger, it says that Despair was also revealed to have infused Cloak and Dagger with portions of his soul, called the dark form and light form, respectively. He also revealed to be the creator of an addictive drug called Dark Light or Delight, and was apparently consumed by the dark form. That one makes more sense to me, and I like how they link that Andre got his powers the same time that Tandy and Ty got their powers, because he was trying to commit suicide and jumped into the river. Also, I'm wondering, does that mean we might get more?
Yeah, yeah.
More what?
More people with powers.
Probably.
Because we have the night that Tandy and Ty got their powers is a possible one. But then also last year.
Yeah.
When Mayhem split. So there's a good chance we might find out that there are more. What I also think is interesting is Mayhem's power, it all relates to fear. So, or fear and despair and all those kinds of things, because Andre was going to commit suicide, and that's when he got his powers in those waters. And then the reason that Mayhem split from Bridget was because of fear, because she got shot. Mm-hmm. And she thought she was going to die.
Oh, Mayhem thought she was going to die in the car. Ty just witnessed the death of his brother, and they looked like they was going to shoot him next.
Yeah.
So I think, and it's still like creeping element of Catholicism in like New Orleans it woven into this, because like, you know, the act of committing suicide is serious in the Catholic faith. No, it is an act of despair. It is the unforgivable sin. And so there's a very, again, another interesting way in which, you know, they've woven these elements into the story.
Yeah. Oh, such good writing. And also taking these villains, because if you look up despair like on Wikipedia, which I did, you know how Marvel villains, like they all look like, I don't know, like, just, they're all cheesy. These
villains.
Yeah, they're villains. And it's, like, cheesy, and a lot of these villains were, like, created in, like, the 60s and 70s, you know. So, you know, they're all costumed and blah, blah, blah. So I just love how they've done this. It's so grounded, but so they manage to have these supernatural elements that are legit frightening. Because he was scary standing in the background of all of her dreams. Yeah, good job, everybody. Good job. who do y'all want to talk about next?
Let's get Bridget out of the way.
Okay. So Bridget / Mayhem. I love how they open the third episode with Mina doing the experiment on the rats. And you see her injecting all these rats with the water from the river. And there was like a power surge. The lights went out. The rat gets frightened and splits in half. And then almost immediately, the more aggressive rat kills the other rat. And basically, you're like, oh, fuck, Bridget is gonna die.
Nice knowing you, Bridget.
I know. And they do the whole episode is done in flashbacks. So they show you from the time that they split everything that's been going on.
Oh, poor Father Delgado. What the fuck happened?
Oh, my God. So Father Delgado.
He went from a pastor at a school to a on the corner. Fuck everybody. We all gonna die anyway. What the hell?
So I think we saw this at the end of last season where he went to go buy a bottle of alcohol. And Ty had gone into his fears. And we find out that he was involved in like a hit and run. He killed someone. So that, you know, he's holding all this guilt from that. And he decides to just go full back into that life. Like, my man is strung out looking for a bottle. And poor Bridget is not helping.
I don't think that was Bridget. That was Mayhem giving him
that. Yeah, that's right. Mayhem. Yeah.
But can we talk about it? I feel like that was more than just liquor. He seemed like he was high on heroin or crack. He seemed like strung out.
Yeah.
He might have been.
No, he was definitely doing that, scratching his arms, like just twitching. It was a mess. It was a mess. And he's on Bourbon Street doing that whole like crazy man in the street, you know, telling everybody they're going to hell.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's funny because I'm like, see you there first.
I'm so mad.
I'm like, sir, pot calling the kettle.
Wow.
He was a mess. And Mayhem is taking so much advantage of it. Like, she's taunting him. It's so fucked up. So she starts out wanting to find Connors, because that the last thing right before the split was he tried to kill her. So she's trying to find Connors, and she gets a room at a halfway house kind of situation. And I love when that guy tries to hit on her, because he's all like, you know, the room costs this much, but, you know, maybe I could knock some money off if, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she's basically like, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. So by the time Ty and Tandy show up with Bridget, he's all like, yes, ma'am. No one's been in your room, ma'am. Haven't touched anything since you left, ma'am.
I didn't mean to make eye tech. I'm so sorry.
I was like, what the fuck did Mayhem do to him?
I don't know, but give her an award for that at least.
Yeah, I was like, he probably deserved it, whatever. It's so messed up. And at first she's looking for Connors, and that really doesn't lead her anywhere because he's inside Ty. But along the way, she finds out about all this corruption that's going on and with these girls, and she decides she has a bigger, like, basically the only good thing about Father Delgado being all strung out and being her personal priest is that he's like, you know, you're looking for revenge, and like, revenge is all well and good, but it only serves you. Like, you need to serve something bigger than yourself. And I'm like, from the mouth of drunks? I don't Like, he gives really good advice for a man who is strung out.
Broke.
Go ahead, say that.
I say who's broken.
Yeah.
Like, broken.
So,
what is he again now? I'm kidding.
So he, so she starts looking for these missing girls, and so by the time they catch up to everything that's been going on, I love it because Bridget, she still knows this, like this person is her. It's just all of her aggression and anger in one person. So she knows how she's running the investigation, and they're able to basically catch on to what she's been doing. But they're just always one step behind her. And I really like the whole playing cards thing, and she basically has a murder wall. She's following everything that's going on. She's actually kind of, and because she's kind of like all of Bridget's aggression and anger, she's actually a better investigator because she's actually moving and working. Whereas, like, Bridget now, like, she can't even shoot a gun.
Yeah. Okay. So, I get it. I can't put my finger on why docile Bridget is bugging me.
Because she's docile?
No, it's not the character choice that I'm worried about.
It's one thing to be shook. It's another thing to be shook to the point where people question your competence, or like for us as the viewer to question your competence.
That's it. And I don't like that this show made that the choice.
Because we're led to believe that she's a very good detective. I mean, right. Of all the things, of all the problems that she's had to deal with, I don't think anyone has ever said that she's a bad detective. You know, she was a fly in the ointment. You know, she was a problem for the structure as it was in New Orleans. But I don't think anybody thought she was a bad detective. Like, she's being a bad detective right now.
And you lost your memories and your aggression. I don't think that means you lose your common sense or ability to do a job. Sure, I get the shooting thing being off. Okay. But the rest of it, you're telling me that's all aggression? It feels like they're trying to code it as male-female traits, and I don't like it.
Oh. See, I didn't get that. I think what I more saw it is, so to be, in my opinion, to be like, the kind of detective that we saw her being in season one, a lot of it was pushed by her ambition and her desire to get justice. And so I felt like the split took that part of her, the mayhem took that part of her, like her need and her like, And it was aggressive the way she approached the job, and that was part of the reason why like Connors was like, woo, because she was aggressive about it. She was like, no, something is wrong, and I'm gonna get justice for it. And so I think that's why I think both losing that part of herself that like pushed her to get justice, but then also because she knows something is wrong, she's been focused on herself and she hasn't been focused on what's happening. So I didn't read it as like they're saying that she's meek and docile and feminine, but more that she's lost her way and she's lost her confidence, because a lot of her confidence was tied up with that like aggressive ambition.
I want to say like, so I can see what both of you are saying. I think where I lean is probably, I think it's somewhat consistent with Doc in that it's a very interesting decision to tie up someone's desire for justice or someone's determination to solve a puzzle as necessarily an aggressive trait.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, so I think what flipped it was when she wasn't trying to hide it anymore, when Ty and Tandy knew what was going on and they were like, okay, we need to figure this out. You saw that she was just like, she figured out everything that the other Bridget, that Mayhem was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think before she was so focused on trying to keep it a secret that she wasn't focused on like, well, what is she doing? What is she out there doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think maybe, and I don't know. It felt like maybe she was just kind of like, maybe I'm just going crazy. Because also, didn't she not quite know? Because she was actually knocked out when the other, when they split. She was in the hospital.
No, yeah, but she had figured it out.
Yeah.
She was starting to figure it out. And then when Mayhem actually showed up and was like, my turn, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think, that's like weeks after, that's like months after. So I think maybe like during those months before we saw where the season started, she probably just thought something was wrong with her.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, I'm curious to see how they handle her total arc, like whether the resolution for her kind of justifies everything they've done up to this point. Because, you know, like I said, I will say it is sort of a bizarre coding. And it just said like Mayhem, I guess part of the problem is Mayhem reminds me of the Punisher, and I can't stand the Punisher.
Yeah.
Like I the thing that I like about the Netflix show, the Punisher shows, is that it made me care about a character that I cannot stand. So it's just, it's just kind of, it's an odd coding.
They've definitely set it up so it can only either end with them coming back together or one of them killing each other. Like, those are the only options right now, is that they either come back together or one of them kills the other. I think they've also did a really good job of showing that Mayhem is not right. Because as much as she tries to taunt Tandy with, you know, we should work together and all the other stuff, Ty is very clear. The way she handles things is not okay. Just because she's trying to get justice, it does not make her any better than the other police who shoot first and ask questions later. And we see that when she almost kills that little boy who's in the warehouse. Again, not that he's perfect, but he's just a little boy.
Yeah.
And it seems like both of those characters, like Andre and Mayhem, both are mirrors to Tandy's, like, the worst aspects of Tandy's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Andre called it when she was confronting him about draining people's despair, he said, you did the same thing with people's hopes.
Ooh, the table shaking.
And his response was exactly the same thing she said to Ty at the beginning of the season. Some people don't want to be helped. Mm-hmm. Some people can't be helped. And it's, she's looking at him.
She tried to do that to Evita.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Evita was like, hold on, homegirl.
I think you thought.
I love Evita. Like, even in Tandy's dream, when she came running in there, Evita was like, girl, how much have you had to drink? And what are you wearing? Oh, Vita's my favorite.
Got her number no matter what.
Yeah, I definitely feel y'all. It feels like this, a lot of this season, and just particularly with this story arc of the trafficking, it does feel very much about Tandy's growth and Tandy's Tandy's shortcomings as well.
That's a nice way to put it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so then Mayhem ends up when she tries to when they're freeing it. So, oh, I love it. They're like, "Okay, we got the girls out. You actually don't have to do anything." And Mayhem's like, "Fuck them girls." And just runs up into place and starts shooting. And Ty ends up pulling her into him. And then we kind of talked about it when we talked about the Tandy stuff. They go on this journey inside this other realm. And Connors comes back out.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't. And so, again, when we go back to, like, what the two options are here with Mayhem, either they're going to come back together or they're going to kill each other. But also what baby Ty told Tandy in there was that Mayhem can't get out on her own because she's not a whole person. So do you think it that Bridget is going to also have to go inside Ty?
Well, my question is this. Why would she want to? This woman is fucking crazy. Exactly. And add to that, we saw what all that time inside of Ty did to Connors. What do you think it'll do to Mayhem?
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. It's interesting because the whole reason Mayhem got started on this was to also to get revenge on Connors, but now Connors is out. Mm-hmm. And I can see, although Bridget might not want to, I can see why if they told her there's a way to get Mayhem back inside of her, I could see her then wanting to go inside because she does feel like she isn't the same person. Like she can't fully be who she is without that part of her.
Mm.
So I can see her, if she continues to not be able to do her job, wanting to go back in there and figure out how to connect. I mean, either way, it sucks because Mayhem's just going to try and kill her.
Mm-hmm. Yo, and was it when she tried to hang O'Connor, that took me out.
I'm glad Connor came out and he was all like, yes, punish me for what I did to your brother. And here's how you get the information and all this kind of stuff. But I would be lying if I said when homegirl was trying to hang him that I was not hoping that she succeeded.
It was a lot to me. I mean, I like not even talking about my feelings one way or another. That was intense.
Oh, no. Again, trauma by Marvel. This show is too much. And I don't, you know, I have my own personal things about people hanging. So, like, I don't like to see that. But, yeah. This was before we knew that he was all apologetic, and I was kind of like,
all I know is I saw that scene, and this was all I heard.
Because every time I wake up in the morning, I got murder on my mind.
That was all I heard.
I would like everybody to remember this moment because everybody that tries to come for me in the Facebook group and on Twitter and talking about something like Shanna don't care nothing about nobody and just remember this.
What? I'm just saying.
There was a whole she had a whole musical cue. I'm just saying. Okay.
I mean, you're right though. They got O'Connor so fucked up. He's snitching on white folks.
Why? He like,
right.
He was like, let me tell you, here's where you can find the goods.
Yo, I know where the man lives, okay? The man. I know where he lives. You can find him.
The only time he ain't got that key on him is when he getting butt naked in the bathhouse.
He just giving away all of white supremacy.
He's like, if you go in Mondays at 2 p.m. between 2 and 4, you can find him. It was a mess. He did not fucking care anymore. And I loved it because he was smart enough to know. He was like, I mean, I could walk in and confess, but that won't mean anything. Like, you need more than that. Because that's how fucking corrupt this city is. No, he's like, they'll still find a way to just, you know, not make it a big deal. So I need, yeah. He's like, let's get more than that. We need like some leverage to make sure they actually prosecute me. How fucked up is that?
Right. He'd be like, look, y'all need to send me to jail. Oh, and let me tell it all these white folks while I'm at it. It's like, wow.
Y'all need to get that other Zapruder film, because that's the only way you gonna get me. The Kennedy assassination. If somebody got steals from the Lincoln assassination, you can pin that one on me. You might get me that way. I mean, damn, dude.
A mess. Yeah, Connor is a mess.
I mean, I'm not saying that we don't need, I'm not saying we need this dimension in real life, but
put all the cops in there. I'll say it, shit.
I love this idea of you having to face your deep, like, really and truly face them, however they manifest. I love it. And it's so, it continues to be interesting because Tandy's power is like all related to hope. She's probably the most hopeless motherfucker on the show. And Ty's power is so tied to like fear and, you know, and loss of hope.
But you know why it makes sense? Think about where they were when they got these powers, right? Mm-hmm. Tandy was dancing, and as far as she knew, she had a happy home life. And so she was kind of full of hope. Whereas, you know, Ty was kind of operating from a place of fear. His brother was hanging with some knuckleheads, which put them at risk from time to time. And you know, running in situations where it could cause problems. So, of course, he was full of fear at the time he got his power. So it kind of makes sense, actually.
Yeah. And the other thing that we see a lot in Tandy's various dreamscapes is Ty constantly trying to live up to his brother. And I think that there was a part of him that feared that he would never be as good as his brother.
But is that Tandy projecting?
I don't know. Cause it you see it in her engineering dreamscape where he is just kind of following in his brother's footsteps, but he's clearly like, she says to him, she's like, you're like just as smart as your brother. And he's like, oh no, but you know, Billy's always right. And I wonder where she gets that from. Like, you know, it is her dream, but I feel like some of that has to come from Ty. When we saw him in first season, you know, part of his excellence came out of feeling like he needed to be better.
Like it seemed like he needed to live the life that his brother never got to live.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was living, he's living two lives.
Yeah. So I think Tandy is projecting a little bit, but I also don't think she's necessarily wrong. I think she has a good understanding of what Ty feels.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, if there's anything we've learned from this show is that, you know, they understand each other very well, which is the reason why their arguments are so intense.
Oh, God. They be hitting way below the belt.
Coming for throats.
Ooh, like... Oh, and I love even that one dream where Tandy is picking Leo's pocket and she jumps into the car with Ty. He's like, no, crazy white girl. I love how Ty is always like, you are a crazy white girl. Like, and you are fucking up my life.
Oh, the one thing. So, well, actually, we'll get to this because we haven't covered Ty yet. But yeah, about that later when we get to it.
Well, wait a minute. I feel like we kind of covered Mayhem. Yeah. She's trapped. Go on and hit Ty.
Yeah.
Ty's mama. I don't like that. I don't like that girl.
Oh my God.
If you have look, if you have never heard, as a guy, your mama say that, especially as a black guy, your mama or your grandma say that, there is no hope for Tandy.
I don't like that little girl.
There is no hope. There is no hope for Tandy. That will never be right.
I mean, if you have to choose between Evita, who comes around and is like sweet and yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I brought you a pie. And then like Tandy, like just
show up out of the blue and steal your shit.
Show up out of the blue, full of 53% energy. Ready to weaponize her white woman tears.
Just stole her credentials from work.
All I'm saying is, regardless of this, of the specifics, if you've ever heard that come out of a loved one's mouth, that relationship ain't never gonna be right. Just walk away.
So real quick, I gotta switch our path here. What was going on that the mom kept voting against investigating like police brutality? Because there was that one scene where, she, you know, in order to authorize an investigation, it had to be unanimous, and she was the only one who voted no. And I got the sense, based on how folks react, and this is a pattern for her.
Mm-hmm. I think she is involved with something. Like, I think she's been working behind, while the dad has just been over here, like, his therapy around Ty has been, let me go back into this world of these parades and all this kind of stuff. I feel like mom has been quietly pushing her connections behind the scenes to try and figure out a way for Ty to be able to come home.
But why would she then, so she has to ignore the police stuff in order to do that? I'm confused.
It seemed like she may, because the guy that Mayhem ended up confronting, it seemed like he was looking at her like, you better vote that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she made some sort of deal with And she's working some favors to try and figure out how to get Ty back home.
Do you think that's what caused them to separate the parents?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I definitely think. Well, I don't know if the father necessarily knows, but I think she's definitely pulled back from the father. And then she was hiding those papers when the drug dealers were coming after Ty.
Mm-hmm.
She was hiding those papers. I think, yeah. I think she has some, either something on the police, or she's working some favors. She knows some shady stuff. I think that's actually, if this arc of whatever's going on with the girls and the trafficking, if that finishes next season, I wouldn't be surprised if the following season is something about...
Next season, I need that. No offense, I need that to finish this season. I'm not trying to have a whole nother 15 episodes of this. I'm just not.
Oh, of Ty being on the... No, I think...
Of the trafficking.
Oh, yeah. No, I really... It does need to end. Like this season.
But next season, I'm like, girl, what?
But I think what we might see going into the next season is whatever the bigger corruption in the city is. And I think Ty's mom is definitely going to be involved in that in some way. Because she's too jumpy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, she did pull out a gun for a raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, where I just read online where a raccoon moved into a zoo and now they have to keep them.
Rocket. But also, too, I wonder, I mean, Ty's mom has always been, because she was involved in Roxanne, like tangentially, she's always been on the cusp of some shady shit. She has a safe in her house. Like, I don't know about y'all, but like I don't usually be having a safe for papers and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, stop. First Dr. Andre, and now you with the mama. Stop, both of y'all.
No, I'm just gonna say I'm actually about to invest in a safe because yeah, sometimes you get to a point where you have to have a safe in your own house, and I'm just gonna leave that there.
She clearly don't keep that gun in the safe though. She keep that strap on her.
Yo, she got the dirty hairy though.
she keep that strap on her hip. Okay, Ty mama don't be playing.
Like, look, it's a raccoon.
Need you to calm down, lady.
She's so good. And then her singing in that last episode, I was like, look at mama singing. Get it.
No offense, I had a flashback to my Adventist adventures and I was like, oh, turn it off.
Sorry. Oh no, that song is very much so Christian. I was like, oh, we getting religious up in here?
Everybody singing it all off key and shit. Mm-hmm. Let me stop.
By and by.
I'm like, find the key. Pick an octave. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, yeah.
Waiting for somebody to start doing that double church clap. it was too many white people in there for them to do all that, though.
I hate you right now.
Oh, my God. I feel like we kind of covered
time. Yeah, I just, like I said, I need us to get back to what's Mama about to do with Connors.
So that I think that's where whatever she's already been doing is going to come into play, because I think Ty brought Connors to her thinking, well, she's the one who would know best what to do with him. But I feel like she's already involved in some shady shit.
Yeah.
And so it's not, but
I also feel like the thing where he brought it to her, not just that, but like you took her son from her. Mm-hmm. So as much as I want to kill you, this is on her to decide how you should be dispatched.
And that's the thing, is I feel like Ty's dad was actually the best. Like when I know Ty's dad reacted aggressively at first, but then Ty's dad, I feel like, has always been the more level-headed, forgiving one. And I feel like, mom keep that strap on her. I think he thinks mom is going to be the more rational, reasonable one. I feel like, one, she's already involved in some shady shit. And mom, I feel like she'll put a hot one in Connors before dad would.
Just one?
Yeah, exactly. She might empty the clip.
There you go.
Yo, she got a revolver, yo.
She's not fucking around. You know she practices.
The hand cannon.
Like, I mean, next episode, we're going to see her and Bridget both at the shooting range. Mom hitting all the targets. Bridget not hitting a damn thing. Oh, my God. Mom, I was so pissed at Bridget. I was like, you can't shoot a gun. You can't hit anything. I was like, look, I'm not saying I'm great at this. I've never shot a gun, but I feel like I could hit something.
Yeah, that was a little rough. Like, for somebody that had some training in marksmanship, that was a little... I mean, for her to have had some training in marksmanship, that is a little rough.
Her target just blank as fuck. I was like, my God.
Which goes back to, like I said, I don't like how they characterize in this.
Yeah. That part, I was not happy with. I was like, I don't feel like she will lose all of her ability. Calm down.
Like, shoot, did her lose her fucking depth perception? I mean, what the hell?
Okay. Do we want to do feedback now?
Sure.
All right. I didn't see any in the email.
No, that was Supergirl.
Okay, good. Okay, so we have feedback on the in the Facebook group. Pulling it up right now from Anton. Anton says, "I thought this season with the trafficking would be, for the most part, grounded, but then it turned into a real mind trip, and I'm all here for it. At first, I didn't get it, but after looking around at how it's been marketed, it's interesting how they made Andre's this show's version of despair from the comics and have it being tied into Ty and Tandy's origins instead of just being a demon." Yeah, I love how they managed to reinterpret these very, very campy villains into actual, like, real grounded human beings. And I just... Go ahead.
I just said it's horrific.
Mm-hmm. Him standing in the background of Tandy's dreams was fucking horrifying. Have y'all...
Like fucking Candyman.
Yes. It's like Candyman... I immediately thought it was going to be Tom Waits, because Tom Waits, whenever I think of a creepy man standing in the shadows, I think of Tom Waits.
Wow.
I don't know why. I feel like they get him for those roles. They're like, we need a creepy guy to stand somewhere in here. And then they're like, Tom Waits, is he available? yeah, I think they do such a good job. And I'm really, really interested... Now that we know other people have gotten powers from these incidents, to see who else they managed to bring in. So, anything else we want to talk about before we finish up?
No, I think we covered it all.
So the next episode we're going to record after is 208. So we're going to do two episodes. And I think that's kind of perfect. It felt like every two episodes was really, really like a tight story. So I can't wait to see where they go. Is there anything you guys are looking forward to in the next two episodes?
Us getting done with this storyline, because it's depressing as fuck.
Right. I want to feel good about watching this show for a change.
I feel like we're never going to get that. And I just want to point that out.
If that's the case, I might have to tap out. Like, life is too short to be watching depressing shit all the time.
I feel you, but I want
love ground it. Reality. I could turn on the news. I'm just saying.
I feel you, but in this case, I love it. Like, I love how good and tight the writing is. I love the production design. I love the music. If this show were a lesser show, mm-hmm. I would be like, yeah, it's time to tap out. This is depressing for no reason.
Here's what I will say. We can't double up anymore. It's too heavy. I can't do it.
Yeah. The four episodes in a row was a lot.
Yeah. But I think also the other part of it is, like, you know, I can continue to watch the show, but some of the other stuff around me got to lighten up too. Like, mm-hmm. something's got to give somewhere.
Arya doing the damn thing, but yeah. And I won't lie, last weekend was exhausting. Then I went to see Endgame again yesterday morning. So I own, that might also be coloring how I received Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, I think I did three of them right before the last episode aired. I did three in a row. And I was, yes, again, trauma by Marvel.
And then you watch the 100. They got children's books with motherfuckers getting killed by insects.
The 100 is that's another show that they should just call Children Dying. Because every week it's like Children Dying. How horrible will it be? You won't know till you tune in.
Like I said, they had children's books telling these kids that these insects are going to kill them.
They're like, every time the red sun comes, we hide away until it's over because we will turn on each other and kill each other.
I'm just saying, some of these shows got to lighten up. I can't take all of this.
And the thing that's so, it's like that article that came out the other day that was like, Trump and Putin talk about the Mueller report and decide there's been no Russian collusion. The actual things that are happening in the real world are so crazy and absurd that it's actually making these stories sound normal. It's like we can't actually like satirize or use metaphors because it's real and it's happening.
Everything is awful. We got the bubonic plague coming back.
And I was like, everything is awful.
No, I said everything is awful.
I know, that's what I'm saying. No person's a person. Lego Movie 3, everything is awful.
I mean, no, the bubonic plague is doing a reunion tour.
You really just got up here and said a reunion tour. Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
We're getting the band back together. We're going on the road.
Everything is bad.
I'm literally about to hang up on y'all. You know that, right?
If we can't laugh at our pain, would we even be Black people?
Good night, everybody.
I like, and with that, we out. No, we love y'all. Please continue to listen to us, no matter how ridiculous we sound. All right. We will see you back in a couple weeks for the next episode of Trauma by Marvel. This is Shanna, the doctor in Paris, signing off.
Take it light.